The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I've been thinking about heaven a lot lately. It wasn't that long ago that Brother Dave left us and went to heaven. Of course, Brother Earl left us and went to heaven this week. I've been visiting with the Tallmans, and it won't be long till Brother John leaves us and goes to heaven. I have a friend at work whose sister just has a few days left, and we've been spending a lot of time talking about heaven. And so I preached this message before. It's been a while, and I don't apologize for giving you a rerun, so to speak, because circumstances changed, and the truth of God never changes. And this is a strange verse. I was talking to my mom yesterday about what I was going to preach today, and she said, that doesn't make sense. She said, it seems like it would be just the opposite. It seems like God would get more delight out of a sinner that dies than he would a saint. And I was thinking to myself after we talked that if we were God, that's how we do it. We would write that verse precious or enjoyable in the eyes of the Lord or in the sight of the Lord is the death of those that have ignored him, is the death of those that have turned their back on the gospel, is the death of those that had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's ways, as we know, are not our ways. It says in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure when a wicked person dies, because when a wicked person dies, when a person that has had nothing to do with Jesus Christ dies, they go to hell. Now, listen, these folks that tell you that we're going to get that people that go to hell are going to get another chance, they're lying to you. These folks that say, well, that when a lost person dies, they go somewhere else, and then we might be able to pray them into heaven. No, when a lost person dies, their chances to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior are all gone. There are no more second chances. And when a lost person dies, God says, I have no pleasure in that because they go to hell. And I'll just remind you quickly this morning that God's desire and God's plan is for every single person to get saved and for every single person to go to heaven. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why he made salvation so simple. I mean, that's why he made it so easy that even a little child can understand. We're all sinners. And there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is to be separated from God forever. I mean, I talked about it a little bit yesterday. When Adam in the Garden of Eden sinned, God had to kick him out, expel him from the Garden of Eden as the punishment for his sin. And the wages of sin is death, to be separated from God. But God loved us so much that he decided to pay the price for our sin himself. That's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to come to earth, to live, to commit not one sin, to live a perfect life for the years that he was here. So that when the time came, the time appointed by God, the time planned by God before the foundations of the world were laid, before this earth existed, before you or I walked it, God had a plan for our salvation. And that plan was to take all of my sins and all of your sins and lay them on his perfect, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And for Jesus to take those sins, go to Calvary, suffer our punishment for us, being able to purchase for us salvation. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every child, every teenager, every adult. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. I don't care if you've only committed one sin or if you've committed hundreds. It doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover every single sin. And if you'll receive him, the Bible says if you'll receive him, he'll make you part of his family. He'll give you a home in heaven. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I'll just tell you, if you go to hell, you will step over everything that God has put between you and it. If you go to hell, you step over the cross of Christ. If you go to hell, you wade through his blood. If you go to hell, you step over the gospel, you step over this book, you step over churches like this that preach the gospel every chance we get. You step over grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and moms and dads and brothers and sisters that have pleaded with you to listen to the love of Jesus Christ and to let it come into your life. You step over all of that, and if you go to hell, it's not because God wants you to. You go to hell because you want to. Because you've rejected the love of Jesus Christ. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked because they have foiled his plan for their life. He wants them to go to heaven. So we come back to our text verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is it precious? Why does God get so much pleasure when one of his saints die? Why on Wednesday morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning when Brother Earl Hart went to heaven, did God say, boy, that's precious. That's precious. I'll give you 4 quick reasons this morning. Number one, death is the last dark valley that God's children have to go through. The last valley that they have to walk through. Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to those green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, God loves us. And God cares for us. And God, when we hurt, he hurts. When we cry, he cries. When we ache, he aches. We're his children. He doesn't like to see his children hurt. And every parent here knows what I'm talking about. Every parent here, when you had a little child or a toddler, little baby, even when they get to be teenagers, if you could, when they had a hurt come into their life, you would quickly raise your hand, and if it was possible, you would say, let me take that hurt for them. Let me take that pain for them. Every parent I know, if they could, would suffer for their children what their children have to suffer. We'd rather be sick than see our child be sick. We'd rather be hurt than see our child hurt. We'd rather cry than see our child cry. And God is the same way. He's the same way. He knows when we hurt. Now you see, I know you say, well, if he wanted to, he could stop it. Yeah, I suppose he could. But he knows what we need in our life. And even though he allows those hurts to come into our life because he knows we need them, he hurts with us, and he weeps with us. Bible says in, let me catch up to my notes, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says this, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And our life sometimes seems like it's packed with trouble. It seems like I told somebody the other day, in fact, I was talking to two people. I told one of them, I said, you know, your problems, they're not little problems. When you have a problem, they're big problems. And I told somebody else, I said, just seems like sorrow comes into your life like bananas. And they said, what do you mean? I said, they just come in bunches. It just comes all at the same time. And God knows that that goes on in our life. And he'll be glad when it's over. And so when a saint of God walks through that valley of the shadow of death, it's precious in the eyes of the Lord because he can say, they're done. No more sorrows. No more pain. No more tears. I'm bringing them home. I'm bringing them to their house, their home, their mansion in heaven. And it's precious in the sight of God because he knows no more troubles for his children. There's a second reason that is precious in the sight of the Lord when one of his saints dies and goes to heaven. The second reason is this. For the first time, God has our complete attention. For the very first time, God has our full and utmost, however you want to call it, attention. He tells us, look unto me, call unto me. He says to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. But when we live in this world, and we were talking a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning, there are so many distractions. There are so many things that cause us to take our eyes off the Lord. And some of them, and many of them, are good things. I mean, they're place where we serve God. There's times when we help others, and they're good things. But even sometimes, if we're not careful, those good things can become so many that they cause us to be distracted and take our eyes off of God, and to be still and know that He is God. Did you ever try to talk to somebody and you didn't have their complete attention? Wives, you don't need to look at your husbands when I say this. I wasn't talking about them. But did you ever try to talk to somebody when you knew that you didn't have their complete attention? You wanted to tell them something important. You wanted to tell them how you feel about something. You wanted them to listen and to talk back with you. And so you started pouring out your heart to them, and all you heard was, uh-huh. Maybe they even said, ugh, or something like that. I don't know, but some of you men are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Your wife did that to you, right? No, it's usually the other way around. That's the way God is with us. He has things he wants to tell us. He has things he wants to show us. There's things in this book that we miss because we're distracted by what's going on in our life. And when this life is over and God brings us home to heaven, I think he sort of rubs his hands together and he says, no more distractions. I've got your complete attention. Let me tell you how much I love you. Let me tell you again what Jesus did for you. Let me tell you again about some of the things I want you to know. The Bible says, now we see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see him face to face. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for his children. And one day that our eyes are going to be open, and one day our ears are going to be open, and we're going to understand completely how much God loved us, how much Jesus loved us, and what he did for us when he went to the cross. So it's precious because he'll have our full attention. Number three, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints because God is anxious to show us what he has prepared for us. In John chapter 14, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I hope you read that verse in a personal way. What Jesus was saying is, I go to prepare Donna a place for you. And Christine, I go to prepare a place for you. You see, God knows us as individuals. And when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, he was talking to you and to I as an individual. And I think God is like some of us. I know my mom, she starts early on her Christmas shopping, and it gets to the point in a year where she just can't wait to show us what she got us for Christmas. I mean, I think I take a little bit after her, and that's why I wait till the last minute to do my Christmas shopping. Because if I did it in October, all the gifts would be given away by Halloween, because I just can't wait when I've got something for somebody. I just can't wait to show them what I got for them. I got a little deal going right now where I'm going to do something, and it's going to be a ways off. And I just want to tell them what's going to happen, but I can't. And it's just killing me not to be able to tell them. And I think God is a little bit that way. He says, I've prepared so many things in heaven just for you. And when you get to come, I'm going to walk you around heaven, and I'm going to show everything I've prepared for you. I'm going to show it to you. You see, when we get to heaven, when Brother Earl went to heaven Wednesday, I don't think God delegated an angel to meet him at the gate and said, come on in, Brother Earl. Let me show you your new home. I think Jesus was there. I think Jesus took him by the hand, said, let me show you where you're going to live. Hey, let me introduce you to Peter and to James and to Timothy. Let me introduce you to some of those guys. Let me just show you around heaven, show you what it's all about. And God wants to do that to each one of us. And it's precious when one of his saints dies because he gets to show them. And then number four, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because God knows that those times can be used to bring others to Jesus. When a member of your family dies, or when somebody you're close to dies, I think it's only natural that you start to think about death. You start to think about where you're going to go if you were the one that was laying in the casket. I was telling my mom about a funeral yesterday, and I said, I preached, and we had five people raise their hand indicating they wanted to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And she said, you know, you're the only preacher I know that gives an invitation at the funeral. I said, boy, they're missing a golden opportunity. People have their mind on eternity. People have their mind on death. I don't apologize. Some people might say, oh, you shouldn't take advantage of them when they're in that weakened state. And I say, that's a bunch of hogwash from hell. Those are the times you ought to take advantage of. Those are the times you ought to tell people about Jesus. And God knows that when one of his saints die, like Brother Earl, and some of you didn't get to be at the funeral yesterday, a week or so ago, I can't remember how long ago it was, but a few days ago, when I was visiting with Brother Earl, he said, preacher, at my funeral, I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to preach it hard. When I was over to his house on Monday night of this past week, he was already in bed, and I woke him up, and we talked just for a few minutes, but I don't think he knew that I was there. But when I came out and was talking to his daughters, one of his daughters told me, he says, he's been praying for you. That you'll have the power of God when you do his funeral service. Because he has children and grandchildren he wants to see receive Jesus Christ. I think there were four of them. Four of the ones that raised their hands yesterday, four out of the five, were part of Brother Earl's family. And I thought to myself, as those hands went up yesterday, well, I know of one person in heaven that's having a holy fit right now. One person that's praising the Lord for the fact that some of his family came to know Jesus Christ. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, let me ask you, when you breathe your last breath, when you lay in the casket, when we have your funeral, is it going to be precious in the eyes of the Lord? It only will be if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked because they have foiled the plan that he has for every one of our lives, that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we get saved, saved from hell, saved to heaven. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I can think of no better day to do it. I can think of no better time to do it than this moment right here. And I would just ask you to consider the gospel. You're a sinner. It just takes one sin to make a sinner a sinner. And if you don't think you're a sinner, then please talk to me after the service, because if you've ever disobeyed mom and dad, that one sin makes you a sinner. If you ever told one little lie, that one lie makes you a sinner. The wages of sin is death. You're separated from God forever and ever and ever. But Jesus, when he went to Calvary's cross, took every one of your sins and he paid the price for those sins. And if you'll receive him this morning, if you'll take him this morning, he'll save you. Make you part of his family. And when that time comes, that time appointed by God, that time planned by God for us to draw our last breath, for our heart to beat the last beat, God will say, boy, that sure is precious. Sure is precious. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.